Hey everybody, this is John Maroon, President Maroon PR. Thank you for once again tuning into Spin is a Four-Letter Word, the Maroon PR podcast. This year, we are calling our podcast The Brew, because you'll be hearing from all of our teammates about how they do their jobs, how they brew success for our clients. So hopefully you'll get some great takeaways that you can apply to your business. We appreciate you listening. And please give us a follow at Maroon PR and let us know what you think, if there's any topics that you want to hear about. Thanks, and here's The Brew. Hey everybody, it's John Maroon. Welcome back to Spin is a Four-Letter Word, The Brew, or this season. Today we are talking with Eliana Rakhamimov and Nancy Yashiroff. Nancy is our account director, Eliana account coordinator. We're talking about media relations, and you know, it's such a big part of our industry. It's what our company was founded on. It was our bones before social and digital and all that good stuff got in there, and really the relationship building behind it. I mean, the word relationship gets thrown around quite a bit in our universe today, and sometimes it seems tired, but when it comes to media relations, it truly is relationships. They get pounded from all sides by different PR people, and I think we have a nice way of really communicating with our friends in the media that sets us apart. Nancy, why don't you start a little bit? I think, you know, full disclosure, Nancy and I are in the same generation, and we're used to picking up the phone and using it, but all are not, right?
Well, that's a good point, John. I mean, back in the day, we would mail a pitch, right? And we would work with the mailroom with the folding machines and stamps, and then that would get delivered a week later to someone, and then they would open our pitch. So I think the point, though, about this is that, you know, we're certainly emailing pitches galore, but inboxes are full, right? And the amount of folks on the other side able to consider pitches are smaller. So, you know, what we're talking about is really the value of sending a pitch and then following up the next day with phone calls so they can hear your voice. They can figure out, oh, you're an expert. You're going to make sure to take care of us. You know what you're talking about, right?
No, for sure. And I think the phone call, obviously, is something that is a bit of a lost art, as crazy as it sounds. I mean, everybody wants to, it's easier to send a note. Sometimes it's uncomfortable picking up the phone. And Eliana, I want to shift gears to you, because Eliana is new to the industry and she's new to our company, and she's done an amazing job getting acclimated and getting into it. But Eliana, you came in pretty raw, not really understanding the industry full tilt, but you've embraced this whole notion of actually following up and building bridges with media members and showing them value and calling them, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think with everyone's guidance, with Nancy in particular, who I work with a lot on many of my accounts, it's been a roller coaster learning how to call, and the process of emailing, following up, and then giving them a follow-up call, not even day of, but the next day.
Now, you have an interesting story recently, right? I mean, one of your accounts is the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation, and they have events all over the country, and one of them recently was in Philadelphia, where we were opening up a STEM center at a school in Philly, and you were, you know, a little freaked out, right? Because you weren't having the success you wanted, but you kept persevering. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Philly was a newer market for me, especially when learning the different outlets in the area. And I was calling and calling, sending emails, not really getting many follow-ups or replies. It wasn't until I would keep leaving voicemails at different publications or at TV stations when I finally got that call back, and they were like, hey, are you the one that sent that email? And I was like, yeah, that was me. This is the date, this is the time, we would love to have you there, I can send you a parking pass. And they were like, great, that answers all our questions, and showed up. And that was really nice to have them there.
Yeah, no, it's great. It was a great lesson. I remember how excited you were, and I remember thinking to myself, she's made for this industry, because if getting that hit and working your ass off to get that hit blows your hair back, you're in the right world. Nancy, what's the balancing act between, you know, being persistent and being annoying.
Yeah, you don't want to nag. That's a good point. No, I think that's right, John. It's a really good point. I think a lot of sort of the recent grads who are learning the value of the phone call, they don't want to interrupt someone's day. Like if you call someone, it's a little intimidating, right? Because you got to know all the answers. You got to say the right things.
Newsrooms can be a little gruff sometimes.
Newsrooms are in a hurry, right? So this is like the Tony Kornheiser. You can't say, how are you? Right? Click. You can't, you got to be really fast. Like your time is valuable. If someone picks up the phone, oh my gosh, be ready. Take advantage of that. Right. And so you got to be really, keep it simple and direct. But I think what we're teaching our team members is that it's not scary. It's your job and you're making their job easier. You're helping them so that they know, okay, right. That is a story. That's real news. And they're going to help us get in and out of there fast. Thanks for the parking. I can now picture this. My kid doesn't have to schlep, the camera all the way across campus or wherever it is.
So, Eliana, talk a little bit about that, what Nance just said. You being a new person, right, if there's somebody that's getting into the world of public relations and they're we have a visitor, Jack the Greyhound, just walked in. If you have a new person wanting to get into the industry and they're just out of school, what advice would you give them? Okay, they land a job, whether it's an agency or just an organization overall, they're in public relations now and all that encompasses. What would you advise them?
I would advise them to not be afraid to take advice, even though it can be intimidating to pick up a phone call on your first day or send an email to an assignment desk that you've never spoken to once in your life. Get that advice, format. What I did was I wrote on a notepad exactly what I wanted to say so that when they answered the phone, I said exactly that. They got all the good information from me. They got the date, the time, the event, and then were able to find my email very fast. So for example, with CRSF, that's one of our clients.
That's the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation.
We do STEM centers for them all the time. And I'll call them over the phone. I'll mention, hey, I'm Eliana. I'm from Maroon PR. Started off that way so they know exactly who is calling them. I'll say, hey, I pitched you yesterday around 2 o'clock about this great event happening. Or I'll, instead of great, sometimes I'll just say exactly what the event is.
Yes.
Do you mind seeing if you received the email? And they'll be like, yeah, sure. What email was it from? I'll give them mine. They'll open the email and then they're like, okay, great. I didn't see this. I'll add it to our calendar, which is so efficient.
So that's a good point Eliana raises, Nancy, too, is like sometimes they don't see it. You think you're getting blown off, but they're so inundated.
The volume is so, that's a really good point, Eliana. And I think the other thing for advice for incoming is like, don't shy away from challenges.
Yes.
Like just because maybe your generation isn't used to calling people because you think that's invasive or, right. That's not the right thing to do. You're going to be more successful. That's how you get earned media, is you call people and talk to them, right? But the other thing is, I would say for incoming, recent grads or whatever coming in, is don't be afraid of making mistakes. Like, you know more about the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation than the person on the other end of the phone. Like, there's no way they're going to ask you something that you're not going to be like, oh, the STEM centers are national. You know all the answers. Don't be afraid.
Yep.
That's my suggestion.
Those are good suggestions. And then the only thing I would say, what we really try to hammer on our team is there's two things that you need to do when it comes to media relations. And this is whether you're new to the industry, you've been doing it a long time. And it's, one, bring value, all right? The media people are looking for a story. What is the story? What value are you bringing to their listeners and their readers and their viewers? Make sure it's valuable. And the second thing is build a relationship. We said this earlier, but what we spend a lot of time doing is going to news stations and meeting these people face to face. I mean, Nancy, you've done a fabulous job with this in the last year. And, you were largely more of a like DC minded person. And we work largely in DC and Baltimore. And you needed to get to know some Baltimore people. And you've done that. And you found that most media people are fairly receptive, aren't they?
What's the best part of the job? I mean, it's a people business.
Yeah.
It's all about relationships with everybody, whether it's your client or a journalist or anyone else. But that's the fun part. I mean, that's really that's what you, at the end of the day, you're happy because you were able to provide a service to two different people, right? Your client and the media. And it's fun.
Yeah. And I will say this, and Eliana, I would love to get your perspective, but like a lot of journalists these days, they're closer to your age than my age, right? Mm-hmm. Newsrooms are getting younger. They're certainly getting smaller. And I think the value that a true public relations pro, when you bring them some value and you bring them a story and you make it really easy for them to cover parking passes, details, subjects being available for one-on-ones, then you build that rapport, and when they get something from you, they're going to be much more likely to lean towards that one than maybe somebody else. Because like, these people don't bring me shit. They bring me something that's good.
Yeah, no, for sure. And especially when you keep it simple, similar to what you just said, I feel like there are a lot of employees working at these assignment desks that are my age, and they don't like to hear the rambling. They like to hear, what is it? Where is it? Do you have all the information that I need? And if you keep it simple, you kind of mirror what they're saying. If someone answers the phone and they sound like they're having a tough day, be empathetic, be quick, and be to the point. Don't drag it on. And they tend to like that. They tend to be more receptive.
That's a good point.
And sometimes,
Read the room.
Read the room. And sometimes I've encountered situations where I've spoken to someone over the phone who sounded like they were having a tough day. But once you kind of answered all the questions for them in less than a minute, after that, they sound so much nicer almost.
Right.
And then
right.
you're like, oh, yeah. Look at that.
And that's the value of talking.
Yeah,
right?
No,
you
exactly.
can't hear any of that tone in an email.
Yeah.
None of it. You don't get any of that relationship.
And then they want to build that relationship.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll be like, oh, what's your name again? I'll be like, Eliana, what's your name?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then that's it. They're like, okay, have a great day. I'm like, great. See you Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
No, that's great. That's great,
really
great advice. There's two things I kind of want to dovetail into a little bit. This is more maybe on the written word. One is the pitch. Eliana, you alluded to, you know, we don't want to hear a whole, like, we don't need four graphs. We don't need this
don't
and that. Yeah, Maroon PR, we really hammer home that, like, your first two things have to happen in your initial email. Your subject line has to be really compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why am I going to read the rest of this email? It can't just be like, you know, media pitch, event on Tuesday. No, it has to be really compelling. So even if you're prone to hyperbole a little bit, get that email opened. The second part is keep it brief. Hey, I have a lot more information. Here it is in a nutshell. If you want more, I got plenty. Or attached is more, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So we really stress that, the idea of that. Then the other thing I just mentioned was the press release. I think there's a lot of debates in PR circles these days about the press release. Is it dead or is it still useful? Is it alive or dead? I think it's alive and well, because I think myopically you can look at it really as singly focused that this is, we're releasing information. Those days may be over. That may be an archaic thing that you're using it to break news, right? Those days could be very well are over. But I would just change the name of it to a fact sheet, okay? Here's where all the information you need, though. Here's the story I'm trying to tell you. It's a fact sheet. We call it a press release because we're PR people.
Right.
Call it whatever the hell you want. This is what this is. So I think in that way, it's
sheet.
Alive and well.
Exactly.
The answer sheet.
No, because and as you taught us, John, it's got to have the talking points that are bites, right?
Yeah.
That are digestible. And really, these are not paragraphs.
Yep.
It's not chock-a-block of words. It's, here's the difference it made. Here was the before. Here's the after. Here's the accomplishment. Here's the goal. All those kind of things that are really easy to see and remember and use.
It's funny, the other thing I hear a lot from journalists, because I like, when I talk to journalists, I like asking them, like, do you like PR people? Do you enjoy dealing? And they always like, well, we like good ones, right? Just like we like good journalists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they basically said the thing that drives them crazy is to pitch them a story that's compelling, but now the people aren't available I need them available, right?
Yes.
So here's a good example. Let's go back to the Ripken Foundation. We invite people out to an event that where Cal Ripken is going to be, but they get there and they can't talk to Cal Ripken. Mm. What the hell good is that to them, right?
Right.
So make sure that what you're saying when we list the speakers on our advisory about that they're all going to be available, or when you're pitching a story and they say, okay, great. Can I talk to Meg at the food bank today? Well, Meg's on vacation. Well, then don't pitch me that you want to do the story until I know I can speak with her.
That's right. Yeah. That's a really good point. Securing your interviews before that release goes out is super important.
Yep.
Do not push send if you don't have that on their schedule. You'll be in real trouble.
Yeah.
Really sad day when that happens.
For sure.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think's kind of interesting too is the whole idea of press conferences, mm-hmm. where, you know, press conferences can still be very valuable. And back in the day when newsrooms were flush with cameras, yeah. and, you know, there was an abundance of people available to cover events, that was no problem. Now, press conferences better be really newsworthy, and they better really be something that's worth coming out to. You know, what we've done is we certainly do our press conferences when they're worthy and when they should be done and all that good stuff. But I think also taking the show on the road, taking the story to the media is really a great way to build relationships too. Yeah. Take your subjects to studios, to stations, to newsrooms, have an editorial board meeting. Those seem to be a good way to solve some of those issues as well and guarantee you coverage.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's interesting how you make a great point about press conferences. Back in the day when they were covered, a TV station would send a reporter, a producer, and a camera person or two. Right? Now you get a camera person.
Yeah.
And there are no live shots. Like, you know, we used to do them around live shots, you know, 5 o'clock news, right? That's when you went in and they'd stay for the 6 o'clock or whatever that was, right? That doesn't. And so taking them to the stations for sit down interviews, that's a quality visit. That's really great content.
Yeah. The advice for anyone, and a lot of PR pros understand this fully already because they see it happen firsthand. But a lot of times your clients are like, we want to have a press conference. Well, do you? What's it about? Is it newsworthy? Are we going to get people there? Because the last thing you want to do is have a press conference and have nobody show up. Press conferences are very stressful in that you wait and you pray and you hope people are available. And then, God forbid, another big story happens, breaking news, right? A fire or weather, whatever it might be. A million things can happen, even if you have a very newsworthy press conference. Whereas if you take the story to them, there's always somebody going to make that room. And sometimes it's a lot harder to do. It's a lot harder to get your subject there. And I think there's enough people out there in the form of our clients that still remember romantically the big press conference. So they want to see it. They want to have it. But what are we trying to get? What's the point of a press conference? It's to get news coverage. So if we got to do it in another way, get creative and do it in another way. And again, it goes back to building the relationships and bringing value to those news people. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Anything else you guys want to add?
It's a great career.
Yeah, it is. And it's really a good life. Rewarding when you are building those relationships. I know I'm new to it, but even having that one conversation where someone remembers you the next time you call,
it's
so fulfilling.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's very important. And look, as you guys know, we've told you, anybody who listens to this or anybody who's in the public relations industry knows that really you're always focused on earned, owned, and paid media. And they all need to work together. You can't just focus on one. They work so well together when you're doing all three at a time. This particular one, we want to really focus on media relations. And it's critical, and it's become more challenging. And I think you're seeing less and less agencies really embrace it and get into it. But clients really value that third-party endorsement, as they should. And while newsrooms may be getting a little bit smaller and there may be more challenges around them, there's still really smart group of people that want to bring stories to their viewers, listeners, and readers. And it's our job to bring them those stories. And these are just some tactics that I hope, as you continue to grow your business or you help your organization tell its story, that you can lean into and be helpful to you moving forward. So, Nancy, Eliana, thank you. This was fun.
This was
I appreciate
fun.
It.
Thank you.
Our lovable and quiet producer. Hello, Emma. Emma C., this week's Top Dog Award winner. Thank you again for tuning into The Brew. Spin is a four-letter word, and we will see you next time. Hey, it's John Maroon again. Thank you for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. And just a reminder, if you can, follow us on all the major social media platforms, at Maroon PR. If you have an idea or suggestion, let us know what you think, and we'll see you soon.